Thank you for having me. Last year, Louise was with me. She sends her greetings. And this year, our son, T.R., is with us. And I'm very, very honored to be here. And I love Pastor Sam and Lisa. And I pray that I will be a blessing. That's what matters, that what I say will bless you and bring great honor and glory to God. As a little bonus surprise,
you forget that I need to translate.
Sorry. That's the first mistake I've ever made.
Jadi beliau memperkenalkan dirinya, senang sekali bisa ada di sini, berkumpul kembali bersama dengan keluarga ST. That's it.
Okay. One of my special friends, I should say two of my special friends, are the Reverend Topi Colioso, his wife Cammy, in London. Topi Colioso is the pastor of the fastest growing church in London. It's the Jubilee Church in Enfield, London. And we met some years ago and been close friends from that moment. I preached for him just a few weeks ago, and he's on a sabbatical. And when he heard that I would be here in Hong Kong, he knew immediately that he wanted to come and be here at the same time. So Reverend Topi Colioso, they're from Nigeria, both of them lawyers. So if you need any legal help, you see them before you leave.
Kali ini Pastor Arti membawa dua teman dari Inggris untuk datang kemari. Mereka adalah pendeta dari gereja yang bertumbuh secara cepat, dan mereka juga adalah pengacara. Kita sambut kedua teman dari Pastor Arti.
I want to speak to you today on the subject, the glory of the crucifixion.
Saya akan bicara tentang kemuliaan dari salib.
So I want to read to you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 to 39.
Saya akan bacakan, tapi tidak dibacakan dalam bahasa Indonesia, saudara lihat saja, dari Markus 15, ayat 33 sampai 39.
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "See, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, offered him a drink, and said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing opposite him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this his most holy and infallible word.
Kiranya Tuhan memberkati firman yang kita baca ini. Amin.
You want to read them?
I asked them to read by themselves.
Okay. Good.
I will make the shortest that I can.
Okay. Yeah. You're good. Brief word of prayer.
Mari kita berdoa.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Holy Spirit to rest upon every person in this place.
Berkatilah kami dengan darah-Mu dan Roh Kudus supaya kami bisa memahami firman ini.
In order that their perception of what I say will be received as you intend.
Kiranya mereka mendapatkan apa yang saya sampaikan sesuai dengan kehendak-Mu.
Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said.
Berkati lidahku supaya saya hanya menyampaikan apa yang Tuhan mau.
May this word bring great honor and glory to your name, I pray in Jesus' name.
Kiranya firman ini membawa kemuliaan bagi nama-Mu, saya berdoa dalam nama Tuhan Yesus. Amen.
The crucifixion of Jesus displayed polar opposite facts and truths.
Penyalipan Yesus itu memaparkan dua kutub yang berlawanan, yaitu antara kenyataan dan kebenaran.
The crucifixion of Jesus was the greatest disappointment and worst injustice in the history of the world.
Penyalipan Yesus adalah gambaran kekecewaan yang terbesar dan ketidakadilan yang terburuk di dalam sejarah dunia.
The crucifixion of Jesus was eventually regarded as the greatest thing to happen in the history of the world.
Ya, bahkan lebih daripada itu, penyalipan Yesus adalah hal yang terbesar yang pernah terjadi dalam dunia ini.
This is why it is called Good Friday.
Inilah yang kita sebut dengan Hari Jumat Agung.
And yet nothing was so devastating to Jesus' closest followers.
Tidak ada yang lebih rusak daripada hubungan Yesus dengan pengikut-pengikutnya.
It was eventually seen, however, as what God had in mind all along. It was predestined.
Dan lebih daripada itu, ini juga ada di dalam pikiran Allah dan sudah ditetapkan, dipredestinasikan.
As Simon Peter put it like this, on the day of Pentecost, all this was according to the predetermined plan of God.
Dalam Kisah Rasul 2:23, Petrus mengatakan ini semua sudah direncanakan Tuhan.
And as the disciples later prayed in Acts chapter 4, that all that happened, they said, was predestined by God.
Dan dalam Kisah Rasul 4:28, sudah ditetapkan oleh Tuhan.
And so what I want us to do today is to explore some things about the crucifixion and see if we can understand why it would be called Good Friday.
Pada pagi ini saya ingin mengajak kita masuk lebih dalam mengapa peristiwa yang mengecewakan ini disebut dengan Jumat Agung dalam bahasa Inggrisnya.
The first thing to see is how the wrath of God and the blood of Jesus go together.
Yang pertama kita akan melihat murka Allah dan darah Yesus berjalan beriringan.
When I think about the wrath of God, it reminds me of something very important regarding you.
Ketika saya mengingat tentang murka Allah, ini mengingat sesuatu tentang diri kita.
When your pastor asked me to be a spiritual advisor to you, I had a request of him.
Ya, mengingatkan pada saya akan pendeta di sini, ketika pastor saya mengajak dia untuk menjadi penasehat, aku punya syarat, permintaan.
As you know, Solomon's porch gets its name from the way Luke describes where they met in Acts chapter 5.
Nama Solomon Porch diambil dari Kisah Rasul 5.
But what I discerned was that you were looking at Acts chapter 5 on the point of Solomon's porch and subsequent healing and signs and wonders.
Kamu melihat Solomon's porch dari sisi tanda mujizat dan kesembuhan.
When the people got into Peter's shadow, they were healed.
Dengan bayang-bayangan daripada Petrus, mereka disembuhkan.
But I pointed out to Pastor Sam that something very, very important took place in the same fifth chapter of Acts, but preceding this account.
Tetapi saya ingin mengajak untuk melihat dari sisi yang lain daripada kisah Rasul 5 ini.
And that was the wrath of God upon the church when they abused the Lord's word.
Itu adalah latar belakangnya, yaitu murka Allah bagi gereja yang menolak kebenaran firman Tuhan.
Just before the church is called Solomon's Colonnade, or Solomon's Porch, there was the account of Ananias and Sapphira being struck dead by the Holy Spirit.
Karena di dalam kisah Rasul 5 itu ada peristiwa di mana Roh Kudus menghukum Ananias dan Sapphira.
So I asked Pastor Sam, would you be willing for Solomon's Porch to embrace the first part of the book of Acts chapter 5 as well as what followed?
Karena itu bagian yang depan ini akan menjadi lebih penting daripada sekedar tanda-tanda.
This he was glad to do.
Ini yang dilakukan oleh Pisam.
But you may ask, why is that important?
Mengapa hal tentang murka Allah ini penting?
I can tell you.
Saya beritahu.
So many in the church today want to be picking and choosing what they like about God.
Banyak gereja pada masa kini senang mengambil tentang apa yang mereka suka dari Tuhan.
Some will say, I like this about God, but not that.
Saya suka yang ini dari Tuhan, tetapi tidak itu.
I like this scripture, but not this scripture.
Saya suka ayat ini, tetapi tidak ayat itu.
And if you're going to have the blessing of God in Hong Kong, you need to understand the God of the Bible.
Tapi kalau kita ingin diberkati Tuhan, kita harus mengerti tentang Tuhan dari Alkitab ini.
He is called a God of glory.
Dia disebut Tuhan yang penuh dengan kemuliaan.
You cannot pick and choose what you like about God.
Kita tidak bisa pilih-pilih tentang apa yang kita suka dari Tuhan.
We need to affirm him just as he is.
Kita harus menerima dia sebagaimana dia ada.
And so with all of the Bible.
Karena itu dari semua kebenaran ini,
you cannot pick and choose which part of the Bible you like.
Kita tidak boleh pilih-pilih yang mana kita suka.
You need to embrace the whole word of God.
Kita harus menerima semua kebenaran ini menjadi satu.
I think you can see what I'm getting at.
Dari sini kita akan melihat bagaimana beliau mendapatkannya.
So many people only want to talk about the love of God and the mercy of God and his kindness.
Banyak orang bicara tentang kasih, kemurahan dan kebaikan Tuhan.
But the God of the Bible is a God of justice as well as mercy.
Tapi Allah dalam Alkitab juga Allah yang penuh adil sebagaimana lainnya.
And so when it comes to the crucifixion of Jesus,
karena itu ketika kita datang tiba pada penyalipan,
I want us to see the connection between the wrath of God and the blood of Jesus.
Saya ingin menggabungkan antara konsep murka Allah dengan darah Yesus.
The crucifixion was a fulfillment of the ancient Passover in the Old Testament.
Karena hal ini adalah kisah pemenuhan nubuat dari peristiwa bangsa Israel dahulu.
The Passover refers to that historic event when the wrath of God came into the land of Egypt and the death angel killed all the firstborn of Egypt.
Peristiwa ini terjadi ketika Allah menurunkan tulah yang ke-10 kepada bangsa Mesir sehingga umat Israel keluar dari tanah Mesir.
9 different plagues on Egypt did not move Pharaoh. He only hardened his heart.
9 tulah tidak membuat Firaun menjadi lembut hatinya, bahkan lebih keras.
It took the 10th plague.
Membutuhkan tulah yang ke-10.
where Moses told the people to take blood from a lamb and sprinkle the blood on either side of the doorposts and over the top of the entrance to every little home.
Karena itu Musa memerintahkan supaya membunuh seekor domba lalu darahnya dioleskan pada kedua sisi dan atas daripada pintu-pintu umat Israel.
This had never been done before.
Ini belum pernah terjadi sebelumnya.
Imagine blood on either side of the doorpost and on the top.
Luar biasa, darah dari dua sisi pintu dan di bagian atasnya.
But they all did it in obedience to Moses.
Mereka mentaati apa yang Musa katakan.
And the promise was that the death angel would come into the land and destroy every firstborn, cattle as well as human beings.
Dan malaikat maut akan membunuh tiap-tiap makhluk hidup yang lahir pertama, anak sulung atau binatang sulung yang pertama.
So the death angel comes and he's looking for every place where he can destroy the firstborn. But if he comes to a house where the blood is on either side, he would pass over and go to the next.
Malaikat maut itu mengelilingi setiap rumah, kecuali yang ada tanda darahnya, dia pass over, lewati.
So the angel comes to this house, sees the blood, passes over it.
Jadi malaikat maut lihat ada tanda, dia lewati.
Because the death angel passed over it, that means everybody in that house were alive and would stay well.
Karena dilewati oleh malaikat maut, maka terjadi keselamatan di dalam rumah itu.
But in Egypt, this was not known.
Tapi orang Mesir tidak tahu.
And the death angel began to destroy every firstborn in Egypt.
Karena itu malaikat maut membunuh setiap anak sulung orang Mesir.
Including the firstborn of Pharaoh.
Termasuk anak sulung dari Firaun.
And it was the Passover that caused the Pharaoh at long last to set the people free.
Karena peristiwa itulah akhirnya Firaun melepaskan umat itu pergi.
Now, 1300 years later.
Sekarang 1300 tahun kemudian.
2000 years ago.
2000 tahun yang lalu.
The same God was angry with sin.
Tuhan yang sama marah oleh karena dosa.
And the wrath of God was poured out over the whole world.
Murka Allah telah ditumpahkan kepada seluruh dunia.
I wonder how much you think about the wrath, the anger of God.
Seberapa dalam kita memikirkan tentang murka Allah?
This is a teaching that has almost perished from the earth.
Pengajaran ini sudah hampir punah di dunia ini.
Perhaps you hadn't thought of this, but did you not know that the first message in the New Testament was in Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist said, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?"
Seringkali kita melupakan padahal pesan pertama dari kitab Injil Matius 3 ayat yang ketujuh itu bicara tentang dijauhkan dari murka Allah.
People forget this.
Manusia lupa dengan ini.
People don't want to think about this.
Manusia tidak mau memikirkan ini.
The first message of the New Testament, flee, run from the wrath of God.
Padahal ini adalah pesan pertama dari kitab perjanjian baru.
And after Jesus' death on the cross was confirmed, it turns out that it was that blood that would save you and me from the wrath of God.
Setelah Yesus mati dan bangkit, pesan daripada kematiannya adalah menjauhkan kita dari murka Allah.
Remember the blood on the doorpost, either side and the top.
Ingat kedua sisi pintu dan bagian atas daripada pintu yang dilumuri darah.
1300 years later, Jesus on the cross, the blood dripping from his forehead and from his hands. It was the perfect fulfillment of Passover.
1300 kemudian, Yesus yang disalib telah memenuhi nubuatan daripada peristiwa itu.
The truth of the Passover then is the truth to this very day.
Kebenaran daripada kisah Israel adalah kebenaran yang digenapi oleh Yesus pada sekarang ini.
You and I are born in sin.
Saudara dan saya lahir di dalam dosa.
We are under the wrath of God.
Kita berada dalam murka Allah.
But to those who will look to the cross,
tapi kepada siapa yang melihat salib,
and trust the blood of Jesus,
yang percaya pada darah Yesus,
God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Seperti malaikat maut, ketika aku melihat darah, aku akan melewati kamu.
And so if on this Good Friday,
ini semua ada dalam Jumat Agung,
you can see the importance of the blood of Jesus.
Kita bisa melihat betapa pentingnya darah Yesus.
This is what saves you from the wrath of God.
Karena darah ini yang menyelamatkan kita dari murka Allah.
So, those who have transferred their hope in good works to the blood of Jesus are protected by his blood.
Karena itu orang yang sudah menaruh harapannya pada darah Yesus akan mendapatkan keselamatan.
God is not looking for your good works.
Allah tidak mencari perbuatan baikmu.
He is not looking for your best efforts.
Dia tidak mencari pencapaian yang terbaik dalam hidupmu.
He's looking for one thing.
Dia mencari satu hal.
One thing.
Satu hal.
Whether your faith is in the blood of Jesus.
Apakah imanmu bersandar pada darah Yesus?
So God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over.
Karena Tuhan bilang, kalau aku melihat darah, aku akan lewati.
Had you thought of this?
Pernahkah kita memikirkan hal ini?
The wrath of God and the blood of Jesus go together.
Murka Allah dan darah Yesus akan berjalan bersama-sama.
The fires of hell and the blood of Jesus go together.
Api neraka dan darah Yesus akan berjalan bersama.
Why, you may ask?
Mengapa demikian?
I will answer.
Jawabannya,
the fires of hell do not satisfy the wrath of God.
Api neraka tidak memuaskan murka Allah.
But one drop of the blood of Jesus satisfies God's justice forever and ever.
Tapi satu tetes darah Yesus memuaskan keadilan Allah.
So this is the thing to remember. Your hope of going to heaven is because of the blood of Jesus.
Inilah pengharapan kita bisa ke surga oleh karena darah Yesus.
But I want to refer to another aspect of Good Friday.
Saya akan mengajak kita melihat aspek lain daripada Jumat Agung.
I want us to see two supernatural seals of God on the crucifixion.
Ada dua hal mujizat pada peristiwa penyaliban daripada Yesus.
Suppose you were present at the crucifixion.
Apabila saudara umpamanya hadir pada peristiwa penyaliban.
There's an old spiritual that comes out of the deep south in America.
Ya, ini yang terjadi di Amerika.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Lagu ini yang berjudul Hadirkah Kau Waktu Yesus Disalibkan?
Were you there?
Hadirkah kau?
Suppose you had been there.
Umpama saudara di sana.
What you would have seen, do you suppose?
Apa yang saudara lihat di peristiwa itu?
You could see Jesus hanging on the cross.
Kita melihat Yesus yang tergantung di kayu salib.
Blood dripping from his hands.
Tangannya darahnya tercurah.
And his forehead.
Dari kepalanya.
But something happened that nobody seemed to understand.
Tapi ada hal yang terjadi yang orang tidak banyak mengerti.
We're told in Mark chapter 15 verse 3.
Markus 15 ayat yang ketiga.
That at 12 o'clock noon.
Yaitu ketika jam 12 siang.
Darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Kegelapan datang menutupi seluruh negeri sampai jam 3.
So for 3 hours,
dalam 3 jam,
from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock,
dari jam 12 sampai jam 3,
darkness,
kegelapan.
Never before had anybody seen anything like it.
Tidak Gara-gara kegelapan ini tidak ada yang bisa melihat.
Why the darkness?
Mengapa kegelapan?
What is it?
Apa artinya?
What is the explanation?
Apa penjelasannya?
There have been those, and I am sure they meant very well, who want to say that it was an eclipse of the sun.
Mungkin ada peristiwa gerhana matahari.
No.
Bukan.
That is not the darkness.
Itu bukan kegelapan.
The darkness was the Shekinah glory of God, a seal on this event.
Karena ini adalah kemuliaan Tuhan Shekinah turun pada wilayah itu.
In Leviticus chapter 16 verse 2, when Moses first introduced the Day of Atonement.
Pada Imamat 16 ayat yang kedua ketika Musa memperkenalkan hari pendamaian.
The seal of God on the Day of Atonement was the cloud that came into the temple.
Yaitu tandanya awan dari Tuhan turun di kemah pertemuan itu.
You read that in Leviticus chapter 16 verse 2.
Kita lihat Imamat 16 ayat yang kedua.
But when Solomon saw the same thing and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, he observed what it looked like.
Ketika Raja Salomo membangun Bait Allah, dia mencoba mengerti apa yang dimaksud dengan itu.
So Solomon observed that God said that he would appear in thick darkness. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 12.
Dalam 1 Raja-Raja 8:12 dikatakan dia akan tinggal di dalam awan yang gelap.
As the English Standard Version put it, he would dwell in a dark cloud.
Dalam terjemahan NIV dan ESV dikatakan dia akan tinggal di awan yang gelap.
And so when the Day of Atonement was originally inaugurated, a dark cloud came over the mercy seat.
Lalu kalau kita lihat di dalam Imamat tadi di hari penebusan, awan yang gelap berada di tahtanya.
You would have no idea what was going on between God and the crucifixion.
Kita tidak punya ide apa tentang peristiwa Allah dan penyalipan itu.
But what was obvious is a dark cloud came down to put his seal on the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yang kita temukan cuma kegelapan ada pada waktu Yesus disalib.
It was not an eclipse of the sun.
Itu bukan datang tiba-tiba.
It was the Shekinah glory.
Tapi itu adalah datangnya kemuliaan Tuhan.
It was God affirming the cross.
Itu artinya Tuhan menjelaskan ataupun menegaskan tentang salib.
It was God affirming the blood of his son.
Itu artinya Allah mengiyakan tentang darah anaknya.
It was an external confirmation of God blessing what happened on Good Friday.
Itu adalah tanda daripada penjelasan bahwa Allah mengiyakan darahnya untuk penebusan.
And so, as the blood dripped from his hands and his feet and his forehead,
itu sebabnya ketika darah itu mengucur dari tangannya,
the darkness, when suddenly, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
kegelapan kurang lebih 3 jam itu,
Jesus cried out,
Yesus berteriak,
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani.
Yesus berteriak, Allahku, Allahku, mengapa engkau meninggalkan aku?
My God, why have you deserted me?
Allahku, Allahku, mengapa engkau meninggalkan aku?
But that was the moment when all of our sins were transferred to Jesus.
Itu adalah momen di mana semua dosa jatuh pada diri Yesus.
So, Pastor Sam read to us a while ago from Isaiah chapter 53.
Pastor Sam tadi bicara tentang Yesaya 53.
The Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all.
Tuhan menaruh semua kesalahannya pada diri Yesus.
Jesus Christ had never sinned.
Yesus tidak pernah berdosa.
He had made a commitment at the beginning of his ministry, I will fulfill the law.
Yesus berkata, aku akan memenuhi hukum-hukum.
He said something that no one had ever said before.
Dia berkata tentang sesuatu yang orang lain tidak pernah berkata.
Matthew 5:17, I will fulfill the law.
Matius 5:17, aku akan memenuhi, menggenapi hukum-hukum.
Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones reckons it was the most stupendous statement that Jesus ever made.
Itu adalah statement yang luar biasa yang pernah diucapkan oleh Yesus.
No one had ever fulfilled the law.
Tidak ada orang yang bisa menggenapi semua hukum.
But Jesus said, I will.
Tapi Yesus berkata, saya akan.
In thought, word, deed.
Dalam perkataan, perbuatan, dan juga pikirannya.
60 seconds a minute.
60 detik per menit.
60 minutes an hour.
60 menit sejam.
24 hours a day.
24 jam sehari.
Every day of his life.
Setiap hari dalam hidupnya.
When he was born, his parents helped fulfill the law. He was circumcised the eighth day.
Waktu dia lahir, orang tuanya menolong dia untuk memenuhi, menggenapi firman.
And then John the Baptist began to proclaim that you need to be baptized.
Lalu Yohanes Pembaptis berbicara tentang kamu perlu dibaptis.
I don't know how many were in the queue, but Jesus got in the queue to be baptized.
Yesus juga menyerahkan dirinya untuk dibaptis.
And so when Jesus is next, John the Baptist says, "Oh, I'm not going to baptize you."
Ketika Yohanes Pembaptis melihat Yesus, saya tidak layak untuk membaptis engkau.
Jesus said, "Yes, you will, to fulfill righteousness."
Tapi Yesus berkata, "Ya, untuk menggenapi kebenaran."
Why was Jesus baptized?
Mengapa Yesus dibaptis?
John's baptism was a baptism of repentance.
Baptisan John adalah baptisan pertobatan.
That's because people had sinned.
Karena manusia berdosa.
But Jesus had not sinned.
Tapi Yesus tidak berdosa.
Why was he baptized?
Kenapa dia dibaptis?
To fulfill righteousness.
Untuk memenuhi kebenaran.
In other words, everything Jesus did in the whole of his life was doing for us what we could not do.
Jadi semua yang Yesus lakukan dalam hidupnya adalah untuk menunjukkan segala sesuatu yang tidak bisa kita lakukan.
You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven.
Kita tidak perlu harus dibaptis untuk masuk surga.
Jesus was baptized for you.
Yesus sudah dibaptis untuk diri kita.
You don't have to be perfect to go to heaven.
Kamu tidak perlu sempurna untuk ke surga.
Jesus lived the perfect life for you.
Yesus hidup sempurna untuk diri kita.
So he who knew no sin was made sin on Good Friday.
Dia yang tidak berdosa menjadi berdosa pada hari Jumat Agung.
For 33 years of perfectly holy living, Jesus now on the cross took your sin.
33 tahun hidup sempurna dan sekarang di kayu salib menanggung dosa kita.
That is the moment.
Itulah kebenaran.
When he cried out.
Lalu dia berteriak.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Allahku, Allahku, mengapa engkau meninggalkan aku?
This took Jesus by surprise.
Ini yang mengejutkan Yesus.
He was not notified in advance.
Dia tidak tahu peristiwa ini.
That this would happen.
Bahwa hal ini akan terjadi.
But let me tell you, that was the moment when the blood of Jesus with his perfect life satisfied God's justice.
Tapi itu adalah peristiwa di mana darahnya ya memenuhi kepuasan hati Allah.
The proof that God accepted Jesus' perfect life and obedient death was the cloud, the Shekinah glory, the darkness on Good Friday.
Bukti daripada Allah puas, yaitu turunnya Shekinah pada peristiwa penyalipan.
But there was one other thing that happened.
Tapi ada hal lain yang perlu kita ketahui.
Simultaneously with Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken for me?
Ya. Di balik perkataan Allahku, Allahku, mengapa engkau meninggalkan aku?
And then Jesus uttering the words, it is finished.
ada kata lain lagi, yaitu sudah selesai.
Something else happened.
Dan setelah kata sudah selesai itu dikatakan ada sesuatu yang terjadi.
Several hundred yards away in the temple.
Beberapa meter dari peristiwa penyalipan itu, Bait Allah.
There was a curtain.
Ada hordennya.
It separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place.
Tirai yang membatasi tempat suci dan maha suci.
A curtain. It had been hanging there for years.
Tirai yang tergantung bertahun-tahun.
Nobody would ever go behind that curtain.
Tidak ada seorang pun yang bisa masuk di balik tirai itu.
Except the high priest.
Kecuali imam besar.
And he only did it once a year.
Dan itu hanya dilakukan setahun sekali.
When he entered into the Holy of Holies.
Ketika dia masuk ke tempat maha kudus.
He took blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat.
Dia membawa darah binatang lalu dipercikkan di tahta tempat kudus.
There was a bell tied to his ankle.
Lalu kemudian ada semacam tali atau bel yang ditaruh di kakinya.
Also a rope tied to his ankle that led to the outer court.
Jadi kakinya itu dikasih tali dulu.
Because the most holy place was so solemn that nobody ever would go behind that curtain except the high priest.
Karena itu adalah tempat yang maha kudus.
And so if he did anything wrong while being in the most holy place and died, for example, nobody would go in to get him. They would drag him out by that rope.
Kalau dia mati di tempat maha kudus itu, orang lain tidak berani masuk ke tempat maha kudus itu.
As long as they could hear the tinkling of the bell, they would know the high priest is still alive.
Kalau dia dengar masih ada bunyi bel itu, berarti imamnya masih hidup.
So what happened on Good Friday?
Apa yang terjadi pada hari Jumat Agung?
Jesus was entering into the most holy place.
Yesus masuk ke tempat yang maha kudus.
The blood was being sprinkled on the heavenly mercy seat.
Darah telah dipercikkan di tahta Allah yang maha kudus.
And the veil, the curtain, which had been hanging there for years, was suddenly ripped in two from top to bottom.
Tirai itu dari atas terbelah menjadi dua.
Not from bottom to the top, which man could have done.
Bukan dari bawah ke atas.
But from top to the bottom, which only God could do.
Tapi dari atas ke bawah yang menunjukkan hanya Allah yang bisa melakukannya.
And so that was an external affirmation of the cross for Jews to have to see.
Itu adalah tanda yang kedua buat orang-orang Yahudi sehingga dia bisa melihat apa makna penyalipan ini.
And so the Shekinah glory at the cross was for the whole world to recognize that the blood of Jesus satisfied God's justice.
Kalau awan itu tanda untuk semua umat manusia,
the veil of the temple, the curtain being ripped from top to bottom, was a message to all the Jews.
Tapi kalau tirai yang terbelah itu adalah tanda untuk orang Yahudi.
No longer need only the high priest go behind the curtain.
Tidak perlu ada lagi.
You and I go into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus.
Jadi kita semua bisa masuk ke tempat yang maha kudus oleh karena darah Tuhan Yesus.
By the new and living way.
Tetapi,
and so we enter the very direct presence of God.
Ya, lewat itu semua kita bisa masuk tempat maha kudus Allah.
I have wondered what must the Jews have thought when on that day the curtain is ripped in two before their very eyes.
Saya kepengen tahu apa pikiran orang Yahudi ketika tirai itu terbelah.
You see, Pontius Pilate said to the Jews, "I find no evil in this man," referring to Jesus.
Pontius Pilatus berkata kepada orang Yahudi, "Aku tidak menemukan kesalahan pada diri Yesus."
So Pilate says, "What shall I do with this man Jesus?"
Apa yang harus aku lakukan dengan pribadi Yesus ini?
And they said, "Crucify him."
Tapi orang Yahudi berteriak, "Salibkan."
Crucify him.
Ya, salibkan.
Pilate said, Why? What evil has he done?
Mengapa harus disalibkan? Apa yang dia lakukan?
And then the Jews said something.
Lalu orang Yahudi berkata,
that every Jew in the world should regret with all their hearts.
Orang Yahudi di seluruh dunia harus menyesal.
And that is when the Jews said to Pontius Pilate, and this is awful.
Ketika orang Yahudi berkata pada Pontius Pilatus,
his blood be upon us and our children.
Darah daripada orang ini akan kami tanggung.
It was the worst thing they could have said.
Itu adalah kalimat yang terberat dan tersalah yang pernah diucapkan.
I don't know if there are any Jews today that are here that's never been saved.
Saya tidak tahu apakah ada orang Yahudi di sini.
But I have a message for all Jews, whether in Hong Kong or Los Angeles or New York or Singapore.
Tapi saya punya pesan untuk semua orang-orang Yahudi.
One of the first things every Jew should do is to say, God, I'm sorry for what my forefathers said on Good Friday.
Ampuni kesalahan daripada nenek moyang kami pada waktu Yesus disalib.
But what I know is the veil of the temple, the curtain, ripped in two, showing that Jew, Gentile, every person could now go straight to God, not by any other way, but by the blood of Jesus.
Tapi yang ingin saya sampaikan adalah terbelahnya tirai ini membuat semua manusia boleh datang kepada Allah melalui darah Tuhan Yesus.
And so the greatest disappointment and the most wonderful occurrence in world history took place on Good Friday between 12 o'clock noon and 3 o'clock.
Peristiwa kekecewaan dan juga peristiwa hal yang menakjubkan dalam sejarah dunia yang terjadi pada hari Jumat Agung antara jam 12 siang sampai jam 3.
I wonder if you would sing with me again.
Ya, ketika kita akan mengatakan hal yang sama dengan beliau.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride.
Ketika aku mensurvei, melihat salib tentang kemuliaan Tuhan yang mati, tidak ada hal yang bisa aku banggakan dalam hidupku.
See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. My richest gain did ever such love and sorrow meet, and contempt. Why do they call that Friday good?
Mengapa orang mengatakan Jumat itu baik?
It was so bad.
Sebenarnya sangat tidak baik.
It was so sad.
Sangat menyedihkan.
It was so awful in so many ways.
Sangat tidak berperi kemanusiaan dalam berbagai macam sisi.
It's called good because it saves you and me from the wrath of God.
Itu disebut baik karena itu menyelamatkan saudara dan saya dari murka Allah.
It's what ensures that you and I can have a home in heaven.
Karena itu memberi jaminan buat saudara dan saya ada rumah di surga.
Can I ask you a question?
Bolehkah saya bertanya?
I'd like to ask each one of you right now. Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, would you go to heaven?
Apakah kamu yakin kalau hari ini meninggal pasti masuk surga?
If you stood before God, and you will, and He were to ask you, He might, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say?
Apa yang menjadi penyebab Allah mengizinkan kita masuk ke surga?
In other words, do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? Do you?
Apakah kamu yakin masuk surga?
And what if God said, wait, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say?
Mengapa Allah mengizinkan kamu masuk ke surga? Apa jawabanmu?
Pause for a moment.
Pikirkan sebentar.
Suppose it were the real thing, and you're standing before God.
Anggap aja ini benar, kita berada di depan Allah.
You will stand alone.
Berdiri sendiri.
There'll be no one there to tell you what you should say.
Enggak ada orang yang kasih tahu jawabannya.
God says, why should I let you in? What would you say?
Mengapa aku izinkan kamu masuk? Apa jawabanmu?
What comes to your mind, what would you say?
Apa yang ada dalam pikiranmu? Apa yang ingin kamu jawab?
If it has not by now entered your mind to say, because Jesus died for me.
Karena Yesus mati untuk saya.
If that thought didn't come to your mind already,
kalau itu tidak ada dalam pikiranmu saat ini,
with deepest respect, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for anything in the world.
Ya, saya mengajak saudara untuk memikirkan lebih dalam.
That can all change. If you did not say in your mind, because Jesus died for me, I want to lead you in a prayer.
Kalau tadi Anda tidak menjawab bahwa Yesus mati untuk saya, pastor akan memimpin kita dalam doa.
Pray these words.
Doa dengan cara kalimat ini.
Say them in your heart. You don't need to say it out loud.
Ngomong dalam hatimu.
Lord Jesus, I need you.
Tuhan Yesus, aku memerlukanmu.
I want you.
Aku ingin kamu.
I'm sorry for my sins.
Saya menyesal untuk dosa saya.
Wash my sins away by your blood.
Cucilah dosa saya dengan darah-Mu.
I invite your Holy Spirit to come into my heart.
Saya undang Roh Kudus tinggal dalam hatiku.
As best as I know how, I give you my life.
Saya akan menyerahkan hidupku padamu.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Dalam nama Tuhan Yesus, amin.
Now, question.
Pertanyaan.
Did you pray that prayer because you needed to pray that prayer?
Apakah kamu berdoa karena kamu memerlukan doa itu?
Are you ashamed that you prayed that prayer?
Apakah kamu merasa malu berdoa seperti itu?
You say, well, why do you ask, RT?
Kenapa pastor bertanya demikian?
Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you.
Kalau Yesus berkata, kalau engkau malu mengakui aku, aku juga malu mengakui kamu.
Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father.
Kalau kamu mengakui aku di hadapan manusia, maka aku akan mengakui kamu di hadapan Bapa di surga.
If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something that will take a little bit of courage.
Kalau kamu berdoa demikian, aku akan mengajak kamu untuk melakukan hal yang lain.
In 15 seconds from now, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.
Kalau tadi kita berdoa mengaku dosa terima Yesus, saya mau kita berdiri di tempat duduk kita.
You say, in front of all these people? Yes.
mengaku di hadapan teman-teman yang lain.
It will show you're not ashamed that you prayed the prayer.
Untuk menunjukkan bahwa kita tidak malu mengaku Yesus di hadapan manusia.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to stand to your feet.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Berdirilah di atas di tempatnya masing-masing. Kalau tadi kita berdoa demikian.
Remain standing. Stand back up. Stand back up.
Tetap berdiri.
Now look, it's very possible that you that stood were saved before today. I can't believe that.
Ada kemungkinan ya kita sudah diselamatkan.
But when you heard the gospel, you wanted to affirm it, and you did the right thing.
Dan kita mengkonfirmasi ulang apa yang kita yakini.
But there's a possibility that someone standing, maybe more than one, you've never prayed a prayer like that before, or ever stood and confessed Jesus before.
Ada juga orang yang belum pernah doa seperti itu.
Do you know what just happened to you?
Tahukah Anda apa yang terjadi pada dirimu sekarang?
You've just been born again.
Ya, kalau ini peristiwa pertama, Anda baru dilahirkan kembali.
Happy birthday. Goodbye.
Maka selamat ulang tahun. On behalf of Spin, I would like to say thank you to VSAM because he allow us to join worship and then using translation. I know a little bit boring for someone who speak English, but it is a blessing for us who can join, celebrate Good Friday with SP. Thank you, PSN.
Thank you, Pastor Lamont. That was great. Did you notice some of his translation was short? I think he was paraphrasing a little bit. Oh, we love you guys here. We're going to come to the Lord's table. But before that, let me just kind of add on. RT was kind of doing that throughout our time in Singapore and in Beijing. And if you didn't catch the nuance, you know, I think most people or some people, when asked that question, they would say something like, because I love the Lord, you know, because I try to obey Him. Things like that. But you know, all that stuff, that's a works righteousness. You know, we cannot earn our salvation, right? There's nothing that we can do to actually gain that in our lives. And so the only way that we get to heaven, the only way we get saved, is the blood of Jesus and trusting, right, in the cross and what He's done for us. And that's why it's such an important question. And I think RT is right to continue to ask that wherever we go. Because the reality is many of us, our foundation actually may be the wrong one. That it's based on what we do. You know, and as we said earlier, Tim Keller said this, right? Some of you guys may be very familiar. The gospel is not what we do, but the gospel is what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And we need to be very mindful of that. And part of this is coming to His table and remembering what He's done. So I'm going to read from the scriptures. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If there's anyone here and you've not yet received the elements, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will come by and make sure you get one. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read this from verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, who does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. And so we are taught by the Lord to come regularly to his table. We come regularly, and we come reverently. And so the scripture tells us to examine ourselves before the Lord. And so as the team is going to lead us in a song of worship, I want to invite you just to close your eyes and just examine ourselves before the Lord. Is there anything that we need to repent of? Is there anything that's getting in the way of our relationship with God? He'll never leave you, never forsake you. But clearly, the quality of a relationship could be hindered in many ways. And so can we spend a moment and just make sure that we are right with God? And make sure as we examine ourselves before the Lord, as we partake of the elements. And then we'll gather together and we'll take it together as a community. So let's pray. Let's examine ourselves now.
I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died.
Come together and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son on this earth to be with us, God, but more than anything, to die in our place, to die the death that we should have died, each one of us, because of our sins, Lord. But thank you for the gift of forgiveness, Lord, that we can be right with you because of what your Son has done for us. And we come on this Good Friday 2024 to simply say thank you. Thank you for the cross. We love you, Jesus. We bless you. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for you, and this is the blood new covenant poured out for you. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing about his wonderful cross. Father, we thank you, God, for all that you've done for us, Lord. God, you saved us. You loved us, God. You care for us. You provide for us. Lord, and we come just to say thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're a good father, that you love your children. Thank you that you saved us from your wrath through your son, Jesus. We are forever grateful. God, and we want to live our life for you, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I don't know if you noticed, but you know, our Indonesian pastor's daughters leading worship here. Our Filipino pastor's daughter is leading worship here. And then our staff. You know, they all grew up in the youth group together, right? And serving the Lord. So thank you. Thank you, ladies. Enjoy the rest of your Good Friday. And then RT will be in the back if you want to buy a book, and he'll love to sign a copy for you, right? So God bless you guys. Have a wonderful one. We'll see you Easter Sunday service.